League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways, and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Right, guys, welcome back. World Champs is finally here. Matt's been working very hard. He's a very tired boy right now. We're currently recording Saturday. The guy's put in a big shift so far working on the World Athletics stream. So if he's not his usual bubbly self, that's why. But I'll try and bring some of the energy for once. Matt, how's it going, mate? You enjoying it?
Yep. Just woke up. We are 1 p.m. On a Saturday. And I worked about, I don't know, I think I got sleep at about 8 o'clock last night. So well and truly in the time zone, feeling fresh as a daisy. And did actually manage to see some athletics last night. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's go first impressions then, first off, because I feel like I can't decide whether this champs has been hyped or not. I feel like maybe it's just the people we follow and stuff on Twitter and Instagram that it seems like there is a bit of a buzz around it. But at the same time, it almost hasn't settled in that a major champs has kicked off again. And I don't know whether that's the fact that we had Olympics last year and we kind of waited for that for so long that it's almost a bit, not a letdown, because we haven't seen like any kind of distance finals or anything like that yet. But I don't know. I don't really feel like we're properly into it yet.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't say that. I'd say these world champs, they always take a little bit of time to warm into. I thought the crowds yesterday come the evening session, actually. So that is a bit confusing because the evening session is our very, very early morning session. I thought the crowds are pretty good for that, considering, you know, we just had heats. We had that 4x4 mixed relay final, which I still just think is a bit of a farce. But yeah, so, there were a few things for them to watch. And I actually thought the crowd pretty good filling in. I think it's going to be pretty hot all week, to be honest. And look, we've got the weekend, and then I think we're going to see some, you know, big crowds all week long. I think it's going to be a couple of days. I think usually it kicks off with like the men's 10K final and stuff. Or the women's 10K final. There's usually defo kind of a big track final on day one. Obviously there wasn't as well. So, and I think we know that this Eugene crowd, they like that. So I do think it's going to grow, mate, to be honest. And I think whenever something's like at weird times for us, I think it is hard to kind of get hyped about and see the hype. But From what I've seen, it definitely looks in a good place.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, there have been some like issues in the week recently because we haven't done an ep since last weekend. And obviously, like, just wanted to touch upon that, like some of the visa issues. Obviously,
oh my god, yeah. Let's
Thompson in the British team, like guys not competing. Like, I thought we just better touch upon that a bit. I don't think there's really any kind of need for like opinion. Like, we all and everyone, I think, is in agreement that it's terrible and whoever is actually in charge of that needs to just sort that out.
It's funny because we obviously know I'm working in the mix zone, and we obviously know a lot of people, like a lot of high profile athletes who have like aired their problems or whatever. You know, we've got Talu, Chris Tomo can't even make it out there. But there's a lot of athletes, you know, it was the heats yesterday, and there was a lot of athletes First interview question, how's your travel? A lot of athletes only getting there the day before, 2 days before, and there's a lot more than you even realize. And I think a lot of people struggled. A lot of athletes aren't happy about it. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to host a world championships, it's got to be easy. It's got to be a venue that they can kind of get to. Especially because we know, you know, I think in the distance, you know, we do go on these kind of like a lot of people do go on these holding camps. So I don't think it's actually that much of a problem. Obviously, like Tomo hasn't even got a visa at all, but you know, we do like to acclimatize. But I think sprinters, they do have to do quite a few races before they come to a champs. And so, you know, some of them may have just competed a week ago, you know, so they haven't even had the time to, you know, to get to Oregon and be in Oregon for the past 2 weeks, like us distance runners have. So yeah, it is a concern. It is a bit of a problem, mate.
Yeah. Obviously, like, we don't really know the answer or anything, but I guess just important to highlight, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. Like, it's not like Oregon or USATF, whoever it is, haven't had plenty of warning about a champs happening. And especially, like, I think, like Tomo mentioned it, he obviously qualified for this, like, was selected for this so long ago. Like, the marathon was one of the first selections. So with him, in his particular case, like, it's been a ridiculous amount of time.
I just don't get what the issue is, because
I think I read somewhere, guys, don't quote me on this, because I'm not exactly clued up on all the international law or whatever it is. But I read somewhere that I think in past champs, if the IAAF or whoever's hosting it, host city, apply for a license, you can get like a visa through, like, say, British Athletics, which would cover the whole team, and they can just put the athletes on there. But I think they didn't apply for that, like Eugene didn't apply for that. So every person individually has had to apply for a visa. And because visas at the moment, because of travel, is a bit messed up, it's like a more general visa thing. And that's why it's just been slow. So on a case-by-case basis, it could just be like, if me and you wanted to go to the US, it would be similar, like getting an S or whatever it is.
Makes sense.
Rather than having something that's like, if you're going to the World Champs and you're in a team, you automatically like get it. Obviously it goes through, but it will go for a different channel, so it's a bit more streamlined. That's my understanding, but correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but that's what I've read. But obviously these are things on Twitter and kind of articles. I haven't been through the with a fine comb or anything like that, so but that's the impression I got.
Yeah.
But anyway, not a lot we can do, but let's feel sorry for Tomo. Obviously had him on the pod, like, and after kind of making a bit of a comeback for the Olympics last year, would have been a nice race. I think he mentioned as well, obviously he was based out of OTC for ages, so
nice kind of way to almost end his career.
Let's go on to before we get on to like kind of what we're looking forward to and stuff, let's chat prize money, because it was something I think we mentioned it on our live stream we did the other day, and then we had one of the questions on Instagram about it as well. Like, what are your thoughts first off? I think we're both in agreement on this. Like, is it a good thing there's prize money at World Championships?
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. And I think there should be. You know, this is the absolute pinnacle. In any other sport at the pinnacle, there is kind of big prize money. I mean, this prize money is a drop in the ocean to any other sport, but at least it's there. At least it's good. Do you know what I mean? So if you come in sort of top eight in the world, you are going to get a little bit of prize money. I mean, put it this way, you come eighth in the world in your event, you're incredibly, incredibly good. They're going to give you $5,000. but you know, in the terms of actual competitions and races, that is probably more than a lot of people get throughout the year in eighth place in our sport. So, but look, the winner will get all the way up to £70,000.
Yeah.
For a win, which, you know, you do look at that, to be fair, and you do think, wow, that's pretty big, because we don't see numbers like that often in our sport. It is the World Championships. I'm glad, you know, they have put up prize money. Definitely should be prize money. But we all know, you know, the majority of where their athletes make the money will be in the contracts, and they'll have some big old retainers in there.
Yeah.
If you're a world champion, your contract gets doubled or whatever. Do you know what I mean? So they're going to be, yeah, if you win, you're going to come off pretty well, but you are going to have $70,000 in cash as well. And like I said, it goes right down to $5,000 in eighth place. So I think it's 35 for second and 22,000 for third.
Yeah, no, 100% think it's a good thing. And I think it's a weird one, because I think we almost have some tensions here, because we always talk about on the pod, like, we want people to race throughout the season. And obviously racing throughout the season is beneficial for us as spectators, because we get to see lots of races. At the same time, athletes can pick up prize money here and there on the circuit. But then in terms of, like we mentioned, people like Josh Kerr, had him on the pod before, someone who doesn't like to race too much and always puts his eggs in one basket. But if there is big prize money available for doing well at major champs, maybe athletes don't need to race on the circuit as much and perform better at those. So it's a bit of a catch-22 for us, I suppose. But overall, like, having the money there is a great thing. Let's get into the events. Obviously, we've already had some heats so far. We've had the men's steeple and the women's 15. We'll start with the men's steeple because that was first. No Brits in action, as we've highlighted before on the pod. Bit unfortunate, but some of the boys we've had on the podcast, Hilary Ball, we had on last week. He looked pretty good, didn't he, Matt?
Yeah, our man Ball, he did look very good, actually. You know, he commanded the heat, you know, like he always does. And yeah, do you know what? It was weird watching those steeple heats because, you know, so often so. I mean, last year was an exceptional year. I think it was 8:19 or maybe even quicker, which had to get you into the final. It's actually, you know, very quick year. Always is on Olympic year. Kind of just back to what it is. And you could almost guarantee, you know, if you go through the years of the steeple heats, 8:20 in change will get you qualified. That was pretty much it. You know, every race runs slightly different, but every guy in the race, it's quite interesting because there's always one or two they know 8:20 or just inside is going to get you qualified. And you know, I think in the I think it's Dan Arser in the first heat, you know, they go out there and they run the time, and but the big boys, you know, they look very good and they look very comfortable. And someone I was quite pleased to see was Jager. He looks competitive, mate. You know, I think he's going to be a bit of a threat in the final. I don't think he's going to contend. Those boys have way too much, but he will be competitive. He looks hungry to get up there, and he actually looks like he's sort of racing. So often I kind of see Jager not racing. Do you know what I mean? He's almost too smooth, too just cruise control. Yeah. Even when he's like been heavy favorite. I remember one year, yeah, it might be 2017 when he got run out of it.
After silver in
2016, right? Yeah, I think he actually got bronze, to be fair. So he didn't get run out, but
I know what you're saying, that we had more expectations after the silver.
He just never used to like respond and just grit his teeth. That's so easy for me to say. Obviously, he was doing exactly that, but you know, I think, you know, he was such a well-tuned machine to just run so smooth and run good times. He didn't have that like racing instinct and that change of pace, which Hilary Ball mentioned it, change of pace in the steeplechase is key. We see like these guys like Germa, even Ball himself.
Yeah.
You know, the Kenyans, Kipruto. Yeah, they can just change their pace like,
yeah,
the click of a finger. So it was good to see Jager race and battle a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah, so I watched a good interview with him. I believe it was Flowtrack.
Yeah,
posted it. It might have just been his general kind of for the World Athletics feed, though. But he was chatting about how if the race is fast in the final, like, he thinks it gives him a lot better chance. So like, he thinks he's in some good shape. And like you say, in the past, he's never been someone who's like got a crazy change of pace. But when the pace is good and it gets a few people out of there, he can hang in there. And I think, like we say, like, he ran his first steeple back like after a few years off this season. So every race he's going to be getting back and back and back to that familiar feeling that he used to have. So he can run himself into a shape in the major final, then it'll be good to see. And I think we'd really be pleased as fans of him to see him do well.
Yeah, defo. I mean, 8:21.06 was the slowest time in, which is pretty goddamn quick, to be fair. But yeah, you know, I think he looked good. Ethiopians looked good. One man I had a big eye on was Conseslus Kipruto. He looked very good. He only did one interview about 40 seconds after, and he was basically just saying, he was telling Kenyans not to worry. Basically, he said, Kenyans, don't worry, I'm in the final. And I watched him do the Kenyan champs a little while back, and he just cruised and he just jogged it in. He was willing on all his teammates. He wanted his teammates to win because he already had that all-mat position from 2019. And yeah, he just looks hungry to race, but I think they have got it. It will have to be quick for him not to feature. And when I say quick, it will have to be 8 minutes or below. If they run around at 8:10 pace,
oh yeah,
there's going to be a lot of guys who are going to be there, you know. And I think that's going to be an interesting dynamic in this steeplechase.
And I think that's what's so good to watch about having someone like Sufyan El-Bakkali in there is he's got like a good change of pace, but the guy is also so attuned to front running some of these diamond leagues. And if he needs to, I think he will just stretch it out.
Yeah.
I think he's happy to go. Like,
I think there's someone even more, Germa.
Yeah.
I think Germa will stretch it out before Bacalli even has to.
Mm.
You know, I think those two.
Bacalli, though, either way, I think he's confident he can win in a kick or stretch it. Whereas I think, like you say, Gomez probably more thinking I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I agree.
But no, it'd be good. Final for that, I believe, is on Monday.
Monday, 7:20 local time. That is 3:20 a.m. on the 18th of July. So I'm getting in a bit of a... That is Monday. Yeah. Sorry, Tuesday morning.
Yeah, this is the thing with the timetable. It's confusing. But yeah, women's 1500. We had Laura Muir made it through. Katie Snowden made it through. She was the last fastest loser in her heat. Unfortunately, Millie Courtney didn't make it through. But look, I think it's tough on that 1500 stage. Like some of the ladies in the world at the moment.
Oh, it is tough. I was a bit disappointed with that, to be honest. Like, I always think with the 1500, you know, you have them semi-finals. It's pretty easy qualifying. Races weren't even crazy. Like, the races weren't crazy fast. Do you know what I mean? There are quite a lot of spots up for grabs, you know. It's virtually sort of the top. Well, I mean, look, yeah, Katie Snowden was 10th, you know. You can come 10th.
There was a lot through or from
her. There was, yeah. She was the slowest going through. But do you know what I'm saying? If you can come 10th in a race and still get qualified, that's, you know, and there's only to sort of 12, 13 of you in there. It's pretty easy qualifying. But I think Melissa Courtney she's obviously just not very race sharp at the moment, to be honest. But like I said, yeah, you can never really tell with the pros in that one, because when the qualification is so comfortable, I mean, first six for auto qualifying, you know, they're just chilling out, jogging around. You know, that last heat was the quickest, pretty reasonable actually, 4:02. Good off Sege. Looking forward to see what she can do. I think this is more than the Faith Kipyegon show.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see what Laura Muir can do as well.
I think now as well, now she's got her Olympic medal. I think we joked with Hannah Ringland when we had her on that she's got more world outdoor medals than Laura Muir. obviously Laura's like had so much expectation on her, but I feel like it's been, obviously she still hasn't got the world outdoor medal, but the expectation or the pressure feels like it's been lifted a bit after that Olympic medal that she got last year. And hopefully that can translate into, look, she can just go out there and do her best and really like go for it this year.
Yeah, she responds to, there's a lot of people in these races. I mean, look, she's an Olympic silver medalist, actually. She is a class above, you know, people like Jess Hull, even, you know, who's a big time contender. But,
well, she dominated her at the Diamond League in Birmingham.
Yeah, she did. You know, she beat Sinclair in her heat and stuff. And these are people who you're like, oh, yeah, they're pretty good. But I think Muir's going to blow them out of the water. She's very experienced through the rounds and through the races. You know, she's got awesome endurance. And these girls are very much kind of, you know, just that slight level below. I think, you know, they're inside 4 minutes. They're good runners. But yeah. I do, yeah. It'll be interesting to see where she comes. And if she can, because if it is quick, can she hang with it? If she doesn't hang with it, what does she do? So it's going to be an
interesting one. She's always been someone that has raced for the win, and
we've seen that not pay off.
Yeah. Crazy quick, she'll go with it. But I'd like to see her do that. I think I almost think just keep doing it, and then one day, like, it's going to pay off for you. And like you talk about how she's crazy strong at the moment, but look, she's running some of her best 800s this season as well. So she looks ready to go.
Back to her best. Yeah.
Exciting for us from a British perspective.
Yeah, she's very much back to her best, old Muir. But look, that's kind of what's been the heats. As me and you say, we love watching the heats, actually. We love just seeing things develop, things play out. They've got their semis again tonight, actually. So if you're interested in that, 7 o'clock, 3 a.m. In the morning, they've got their semi-final going down. But the men's 1500 gets started as well just before. So that's going to be a good sort of... 45 minutes of athletics.
Yeah, I mean, we got what, men's 15, women's steeple, and a women's 10K final. So we got our first final.
Actually, yeah, that's going to be watchable for a lot of people. That's, you know, kicks off 8:20 our time in the UK. So a lot of people are going to be able to watch that. And we got Elias McColgan. That is someone who we said, and a women's 3K steeplechase heats, actually. They're half 10 local. So that's half six our time. So there's going to, we can, you know, if you're in the UK, you can actually watch some decent athletics today. But look, I want to see what Elias does, man. Can she get amongst it? Are the Africans still too good? Can she get amongst it?
Yeah. It's such a weird one because I feel like the Americans have improved so much recently. And I think, like, coming out of that BTC group, like on the men's and the women's side, they've both been showing that they can really, like last year, like Grant Fisher and people like that, proving they can, like, really get up there. But I think, like, Ailish is just as good as, like those US girls, at least.
Whoa. Ailish is way better. Way better.
That's what 13, I mean. And we talk about them getting up there.
Yeah.
Like, we talk about she is. Girls getting up there with ease. So I'm sure Ailish is going to be up there. It's just whether she can, like, actually perform. Because I don't think, like, anyone would disagree with saying she had, like, a bit of a disappointing champs last year compared to the American girls. But she's a better athlete than them.
To put it into context, I don't think a lot of people know this because she kind of flies under the radar because they are the Africans, and she blew them out of the water in Hengelo this year, ran 30:19. She's the second fastest in the world, personal best going into this race. She is the second fastest runner. She has 20 seconds on the next girl in third. G'day, we know she's a world record holder. 29.01 is just ridiculous. But yeah, that's who's obviously the quickest in the field. Ailish is second. To be honest, when you look at it, you know, in a 10K, if you have sort of 15 seconds on someone, 15, 20 seconds on the next person, and then, you know, don't get me started. She's a lot quicker than, there's a lot of people outside 31 minutes in this race as well. So you're kind of thinking, can she get a medal? She should. On paper, she should. If we had a bloke in this position, we would. I think there would be huge pressure on him. She's kind of cruising in under the radar, I think. Even myself almost didn't realize how good she was compared to the rest of the field. Doing my homework before this was like, she'd run very fast, but I just assumed because she did was it in Stockholm or Oslo? The Diamond League. Kind of struggled in the 5K coming off the back, ended up dropping out in the end. I know she had her issues, travel, whatever, illness. I think it was freak illness at the time. But, you know, you kind of see her compete sometimes and, you know, there's a four or five who are ahead of her.
Mentioned earlier with like someone like Jager, though, like it's that change of pace sometimes. And I think if there's it's where we've seen in the past, like in championships, when there's a big pack of them and it really starts, not a turning of the screw, but like a real move, that's where
yeah
can struggle.
Yeah. Potentially, man. Yeah, I think she's going to have to play to her strengths in this race. And if it's not slow, she's got to make it hard. She ran. Let's not forget.
I think she should. And I almost think if you do have those kind of time credentials over other people, you'd be foolish to not put in some work yourself.
Absolutely. So I'm excited to see. The only thing that might put her off the race is at midday, literally 12:30. That may put her off. The sun's just beating down on you. It's not crazy hot, you know. I know yesterday on comms kind of saying how it wasn't crazy hot. It was like 20, probably equivalent to 25 degrees or whatever. Mm-hmm. Athletes, they can handle that. Goodness me. Well, they can. It's not the heat serve and the humidity, you know. Let's not forget, it's not the humidity of like Tokyo and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it becomes a challenge for races like the 10K, just because the sun is just purely beating down on you. But other than that, I mean, come on, 5K, I mean, three sort of steeplechase down, it's not going to make a difference. In fact, it's probably perfect. You want it a little bit warm anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but like, obviously, yeah, women's 10K, first final to look forward to. So that's good to see. Men's 1500. We've been billing this as the one to watch In terms of a British perspective, in terms of world perspective. Matt, you put out the other day that you think Jakob might well get beat as your kind of bold prediction. And I think you could be right, mate. But look, we never want to bet against him because he's a funny character in that I love seeing him win because I think he's just crazy good. But at the same time, I also love it when your favourites get beat. So it's a win-win really for me as a spectator anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really good race. I'm just looking now at the start list as well. I'm surprised to see Stuart McSwain lining up in the 1500, ran a good 3K. He does just tend to just enjoy doing these championship 1500s.
Mm.
I think the guy has talent over a 5K, to be honest with you. But I think the one thing he's got bad for him is going to be quick, but he's obviously struggled early season. So I'm going to be interested to see how he kind of responds. But
well, yeah, like last year where he's literally flying every race.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, again, probably someone who had a bit of a disappointing Olympics.
Yeah. These rounds are going to be really, especially these heats. All three Brits line up in different heats, but these heats are going to be really scrappy, I think. There's a lot of, like we said, that we haven't had the really quick 1500s. You know, usually we going into a champs, we have Monaco, that kind of just, there's your top 10 all inside 3:32. Do you know what I mean? So everyone's really tight this year is what I'm saying. They're all running 3:33, 3:34 to get here. Their season's best. I mean, you know, even someone like Teferra's season's best 3:32. You know, we've had that one-off quick mile race in which Jakob and Hoare did, but didn't, you know, and Whiteman did, of course. But, you know, that real quick 1500 to separate the cream from the crop hasn't happened this year. So it's very, very tight. I think the race is going to be very, very scrappy, especially in these heats. But like I said, six to qualify, pretty comfortable for the top boys. It's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, and we'd expect all three Brits to get through. Obviously, it's very similar to team to what we had last year, just Neil Gawley in for Jake Hayward, and they all made the final last year. Do you think we'll see, obviously not in the heats, I don't think. We saw, obviously, Olympic record in the semi last year. Do you think we're going to see similar again?
Potentially.
You mentioned the scrappiness, but do you think it's going to be like a slow scrappy, or are we still going to see some quick times?
I think these heats will be a pretty slow scrappy.
Okay.
Yeah. I just don't think the top boys will really kind of push it on, especially in the heats, because when you've got six, thing is, in the semis, it's usually, I think it's three or it might be four, you know, to qualify. When that number's a little bit less, it's like, okay, you have to push it on and, you know, kill off a few of the people who have only run 3:34, 3:35 this year. But I think these heats was the first six. Yeah, I think the top boys are going to take a ride. I want to see how Josh Kerr looks. We know what he looked like in his heat in Tokyo. Don't panic if he doesn't look great. But, you know, I just want to see what he looks like. Obviously, champs kind of just got through there. By the skin of his teeth against Hayward. Mo Katir, he hasn't been at his best this year. I want to see how he looks. Abel Kipsang, the guy who was absolutely flying early season, 3:31.0 in Kenya. He finally stopped racing, rested up for the best part of almost 2 months, I swear. So we haven't really seen him perform. So I want to see how he does as well, you know, because he's someone who I'd put down as a main contender and could kind of shake up the world if he beats Jakob Ingebrigtsen.
Yeah, wow. Who knows, man? I guess we'll know more after the heats and semis. But then, like you mentioned about Kerr, doesn't necessarily, we feel like we know more, but then we might not at all. Because like, as long as they get through, doesn't really matter how they look.
Yeah, I think there's going to be no surprises in these heats. Good to watch, just to see how the tactics go down. But yeah, the qualifying's so good. All the top boys are going to go through. And then the semis will be a bit more interesting. Because I think, like you were saying about Olympic records and stuff, I think the semis will be rolled out at a quick pace.
Yeah.
Because not only that, I think someone like Ingebrigtsen starts thinking, it's funny actually, because I remember having a chat with Jake Hayward. And I said to him, you know, he lined up on the start line for the Olympic final. And he just said, man, you know, sometimes you just know your legs aren't quite there. And he said they just weren't there because his semi was so gassed. And I think, you know, it was so quick. And I think you had such a high of emotions running such a quick time, qualifying for the final.
Yeah. Well, I believe they were PB'd in the semi and the final, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I remember him saying, like, he just didn't feel like he had that you know, his legs weren't in that place where they could really fly. And I think someone like Jakub Cheruiyot, they think about that. You know, they think about these guys. Yeah, you're a one off 3:32 man. Can you do 2 in 2 days? Mm. You know, can you do 3 in 4 days?
Yeah.
So I think it does pay for them to have a quick semi as well. But I think the heats will be pretty chilled.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and then women's steeple, that's the other one we got today, heats. Obviously, we've chatted loads about Lizzie Bird recently, like putting in some class performances. You expect her to get through, make another like major final, and then hopefully looks good and see what she can do in a final. She's kind of really like knocking on that door of becoming top class.
Yeah, I think she should. It'll be tight. She's going to have to be at her best to get through. First three, and I think she's ranked fourth. She's ranked fourth on her PB going in. She's ranked fifth. But you know, with six fastest losers, this is it. She's going to have to be one that makes it hard. I think she can make the final. I actually think she's got another gear, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
She's got another gear to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Lizzie Bird come away with her. With a low 19s clocking, you know, 9:12, 9:11, 9:10, something like that.
I mean, yeah, we mentioned Hayward PB in the semi-final and the final, like Lizzie Bird PB'd in the heat and the final in Tokyo. She's got Emma Coburn on a heat who, someone who doesn't mess around, and she'll like take it up with a couple laps to go, I'm sure, if it's still bunching. So hopefully it's a nice, smooth ride, because that's the only thing with the steeplechase, like we can expect people to get through. But like when he gets jostled in round on the water jump and on those like dry barriers as well, like you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So yeah, that's the women's steeple. As for overall winners, mate, you know, I know we've got Noah Cheruto, who runs for Kazakhstan, but it's a pretty tough one to call, to be honest with you. I think she's the kind of class above. People like Frex and Coburn just don't seem to be at their best this year.
I don't know. Yeah. I thought Coburn looked good at USA's, like, and I think she's someone who's been obviously been quiet for a couple of years, and maybe it's a bit of not a comeback, because it's not like she's ever like really gone missing or anything like that. But I think maybe it's a bit of redemption after last year.
Yeah, but you know, she's still. I just don't think she's going to be competitive against those girls, man. I'd be surprised. Be surprised. I think they don't muck about. I think the final will be kind of low 9 minutes anyway. They'll run it out pretty quick, which I think will suit people like Frags, Coburn, you know. But yeah, they just don't seem, they're almost a little bit in the Jager boat. Like, yeah, get back to their best, but don't think they've quite got it. Look, we got to start hurrying some things along, mate, because we have got a lot more to talk about. That's just the next 2 days. We've rambled about there. The big one, which I am really looking forward to, is 9 o'clock on Sunday night, our time, the men's 10,000 meter final. I don't know why World Athletics do this as well. They're just so, like, that race is on Sunday. You can't view the start list. It's just annoying. Like, okay, we kind of know who's going to be in that race. We know it's going to be Cheptegei, Kiplimo, you know, Berega. We know there's going to be all these guys, but it's just, let me just view the start list. You know, there should be start lists up for day 10. Like,
yeah. And like, you know, change them. It's like they don't have to say, oh, it's not going to change now, but
this is what I'm talking about.
Especially in the final, it's not like they're drawing heats or anything like that.
Yeah. That's a straight final. They would have known that from whenever the deadline closed 2 weeks ago, you know. This is just what I'm saying. Just hype up the event a bit more, make it a bit easier.
I mean, the start list for the hammer throws out, so that's good.
No, because that's a final, they've already had the heat. It doesn't count.
No, but a 10K is a final as well. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's,
well, yeah. No. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah. My points. Regardless.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just frustrating. You know, I know we kind of know the names, but if you had to pick someone to win that 10K, Lum, who are you going for? Do you think Cheptegei?
I don't know. Maybe Kiplimo, man. Like.
He hasn't. I do think Cheptegei at that 10 is Cheptegei's. For some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Whenever we get into predictions, mate, I always just start trying to be too clever. And I think sometimes I've just, yeah, we should just start picking favourites. And we did this with our Olympic predictions last year. we were like, oh yeah, he's gonna mess up here, he's gonna mess up there. But
yeah.
I mean, it's a classic. It's a bit like with like Jakob sometimes, that if Cheptegei runs like to the best of his ability, then he's the best in the world, like no doubt about it.
He's gonna have a good ding dong against those Ethiopians. Don't get me wrong. But I think
I just always love seeing him and Kiplimo, like both like repping Uganda. They always seem to like have some sort of team tactics going on, or some like they've been chatting, and I don't know. So it's always good when those two come to the front of the race and start doing something. That's always what I look out for. But I would I think maybe it's just more of a, I'd like to see Kiplimo do a job on him like at some point. And like it seems like he always does a lot of work and stuff like that in some of these races, so it'll be good. But I think Cheptegei is for sure the favorite.
Yeah, and I think winning the five last year, I think he just that he'll won that 10. I think he does want that 10. So, but yeah, like I say, a little bit frustrating. Can't see the start list. So can't like go into too much detail without trying to remember every East African's name off the top of my head. So that's. Let's talk about the marathon as well, actually. It's going to go off at 6:15 Oregon time.
Yeah. So,
good for us. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is it 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:15 on Sunday. So that's going to be a good watch. But, 6:15.
Yeah, I think the thing is, when it's not your own time zone anyway, I'd presume that the athletes have been prepping for that. Like if that was me personally, I'd have been doing my workouts at that time. I'd have adjusted to that time after getting into the holding camp. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have thought it should be too much of a problem. Like, it means you're not worried about it getting too hot because they're going to be done by 8:15. So I feel like with if that's a race in the UK, you're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty crazy. But if you've had times getting a holding camp a couple of weeks before, then I don't think there's any reason why, like, you're going to have to adjust the jet lag anyway. So adjust it to when your race is going to be as well.
Yeah. Agreed with that. I just think, like you said, anyone having travel issues coming in, it's going
to
be.
If you managed to get in like early doors,
For a lot of the world, that's actually going to be a bit of a blessing, because it's almost better that you don't acclimatize, because you'd be waking up at that time anyway. For a Brit, for example, you just want to get there 8 hours behind. I remember whenever I go to America, I'm waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning. It's horrible. But they're going to welcome that. So men's marathon, we just maybe touched upon Jay Griff. I mean, like I say, there's a lot of people in that marathon. I think like this, all the guys from 2019 on the Ethiopian side are back to CISA and stuff like that. But then, then again, the frustrating thing is that marathon field that got finalized ages ago, we just can't, click, do the start list without going through every country's governing body to see who's actually competing.
Yeah. And look, like I say, Josh Griffith's sole kind of representative now without Tomo. So it's good that we got someone in there. But
a bold move for Josh as well, obviously.
Could have opted for Commonwealth Games, could have opted for Europeans, which would be easier to finish higher up. But look, he wants to compete on the highest stage, and this is it. Like, other than the Olympics, this is the big one. So excited to see how he goes. Obviously, he's done a World Champs marathon before. He ran it in London in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I know he struggled quite a bit in that race. I'm sure he won't mind me saying. But look, he looks like he's going well. Like, he's been in holding camp for a time. He hasn't had a problem with travel. Like, he's been out there acclimatizing. So we're just excited to see him go, obviously, from like a personal perspective and a British perspective. But do you think it's going to be quick? Because these championship marathons are always, you never really know.
Yeah, tricky one, isn't it?
But then I say that, it's always going to be quick for a 2:11 guy, like someone like Josh.
Absolutely.
We're talking about whether it's quick or not. Yeah. And for the top guys, maybe not, but it's always going to be quick when you're looking at kind of the rest of the world.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be crazy. They never are. Do you know what I mean? There's always a lot of looking around. There's always some big moves being made. So I don't think it'll be, too crazy. But yeah, so, that's the marathon. That's the 10K. We've got the women's marathon as well.
On Monday.
On Monday, the day after. But let's just, you know, before we have to finish up, annoyingly, I'm in a little bit of a hurry, but 5Ks. Will we see, you know, will the BTC get amongst it? I think that's what we all want. That's what we're all kind of looking for. It's what I'm looking for anyway.
And I think we said, I'd have to go back and check, but I believe when we were kind of not critiquing, but being reviewing some of their indoor exploits, I believe we said, well, let's see where they are in Eugene, because we think they're just time trials to an extent. And I remember us saying that at the time. So it will be interesting to see. I think my gut instinct is that they'll be part of the race for sure. Like, they're not going to just get left behind and completely. But I still don't think they're going to feature in the medals.
Really? Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think, it will be like a home crowd for them. And I think we already saw, actually, yesterday, I know the crowd wasn't quite at full capacity, but they were making quite a bit of noise for the Americans. I think that crowd will be rocking for the Americans, just like it is for the Brits whenever we compete on home soil.
Yeah. Is that more pressure, though?
I don't think so. I think they're going to relish in it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and obviously that's their new base as well. BTC moving up to Eugene. It's all been kicking off this week, really. Head into Oregon to kind of direct their
collegiate. I guess one of the questions I'd want to ask is, seems like we know what's happening to the BTC now. They're just going to stay the same. They're just going to be in Eugene. But, you know, the Oregon track club, I wonder what's going on there with Mark Rowland leaving. Will they look for a replacement?
Well, obviously, Mark Rowland left, and then we had Amos done for drugs, and we're about to get onto the 800s just before we finish as well.
I'm just thinking that Ben Thomas could potentially be the Oregon track club coach if Jerry's kind of swooping in at Oregon.
But then at the same time, it's going to be mad to have, well, obviously, I know it's a big facility and things like that, but to have kind of the U of O, BTC, and OTC all based there. Seems a bit of overkill
to an extent. I think that would be pretty cool though, you know, just have like a real sort of mecca of people.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I think BTC just want to get away from Portland because they don't want to be associated with other things that have gone on there that they have been.
What do you think?
Slightly related to.
I just think, you know, Jerry's got that job. It's just going to be interesting, you know, will you have.
Well, I think it's just a bit of a scapegoat, personally. But
it sounds like Jerry and, well, from what we've talked about, from who we've had on the podcast, it sounds like Jerry and this Ben Thomas train quite differently.
Mm.
So, what is actually going to happen to that Oregon group?
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
So, you know, we'd
be interested to see if they can actually improve their cross country program. Obviously, like, they've become a crazy, like, depth, like 1500 wise, 5k wise, but it's the kind of the most famous NCAA school.
Yeah.
But can they really compete over things like cross country? Yeah. That's something that Jerry's training would lend itself to.
And one thing about that 5k, apparently Jakob is set to double. I think he's still going to make a decision after that 1500. To be honest with you,
yeah.
And
from a story's perspective, do you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see him get beat in the 15 and then come back
with a fire.
that's my ideal week for next week. Fan perspective.
Yeah, you got those super quick Kenyans in there as well.
They're still filming like Ingebrigtsen documentaries, because imagine that.
They're all done apparently. Yep. Just kind of took
that. That would be a hell of an episode.
But
anyway, 800s as well. So they don't start till, obviously there's like finals throughout the week and stuff in terms of the last stuff to kick off. The 800s, the men are on Wednesday and the women are on Thursday.
Yeah, 20th of July. No, men are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. 20th and 21st.
Obviously, that's something like we've got really strong British teams. In both, like particularly the women after last year. Hopefully we can see a real battle or kind of GBV USA in the women's 800.
Will we come away with a gold medal in the distance? How about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, there's definitely potential to, like, to say.
It's so hard because obviously we have such good talent. I think we're going to have a lot of people up there mixing amongst, but.
But you know, like you say, the depth of the world is crazy in that we could come away with kind of three golds. Like if you had a really good one, but we could also come away with like 8th, 4th to 6th places.
Three golds. Who are we talking about here? Keeley, Max Bergen, and
then either like Kerr or like Whiteman. Like obviously Kerr like silver last year. I'm saying if you had like a crazy chance. Like the guy comes silver in the Olympics. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying like best case scenario, you come away. Or Laura Muir, sorry, as well. So between
the British guy won the world champs, he would.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you come silver in the Olympics, like the next one is. I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but I'm saying between like Laura, Josh Kerr, Whiteman, Max Bergen, Keeley, you're like all, I think they're all going there trying to get medals.
I think we
could, if you're trying to get a medal, then you're
I think we could have two golds in the form of Bergen and Keeley.
That would be mad.
Yeah. I think they're our biggest chance of gold. I think our men's 1500 are really, really good, but it's just a case of, you know, beating Jakob or Jerry's been underplayed this year as well, downplayed a little bit. He's still been performing pretty well. And
yeah,
I think he got the Olympic final a bit wrong. He pushed on the third lap, like played into Jakob's hand. Didn't need to do that at all, you know. And I think a lot of people are just going to, the way to beat Jakob is obviously let him do his thing and can you hang on? And people are getting closer to him, you know. And I think a lot of people will be really prepared for it. No one was prepared for a quick final in 2019. People were prepared for a quick final in the Olympics, but they just couldn't go with it. But now I think even more so, like we know Whiteman went away, worked on his strength. Do you know what I mean? I think everyone knows how it's going to be now. There's no question.
I would love it if it was Jogfest now, though.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if Jakob will do kind of, you know, what El Guerrouj did all those years ago. You know, El Guerrouj used to get his countryman pacing him and stuff. And then 2004, El Guerrouj is like, nope. You know, and then just wound it up and, you know, dirty last 800 and thing. So it would be interesting if it goes full circle, but you know, we'll wait and see. But yeah, I think in the 800s, look, we got a huge chance at gold, to be honest with you.
I think it's interesting Max Bergen. Like, I've heard a lot of people say that, but like I could almost see it. I also wouldn't be surprised if he like got knocked out in a heat or a semi. Just from lack of
the 800, you can never be too surprised if someone gets knocked out.
That's what I mean. And like, he's someone that at this champs, right? It wouldn't surprise me if he gets knocked out in the heat, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he medals. Like that, it's
all wins.
Wins.
I do feel like, you know, what you said right at the start, actually, with the kind of hype of the British athletes, I do think they haven't been. Maybe it's just me and you, but I think they are going to this champs with a real kind of like, you know, calmness. They haven't.
From the outside,
like, there's not even much pressure on them. You know,
no.
You know, even someone like Keeley, like you would have thought, coming off the back of that silver, she's
You know, but like when you've got athletes like Mo, and I almost think it helped that she lost the other week.
I just feel like
that's almost a good thing, because like,
it is very good.
Like, she's unbeatable. Like now it's like obviously she's still the same athlete. Like, phenomenal performances this year, but look, Whereas I think when you go in with like someone like, when you go in as like a Jakob Ingebrigtsen, obviously that guy's not human, so I'm sure it doesn't affect him. But like for anyone else, it just must be
hard to handle that pressure's nuts.
Like draining. You're talking about things like tiring you out, like the travel and like the visa issues and everything like that. Add kind of that pressure and the rounds is mental. But look, anyway, that's pretty much the next week or so.
Probably gonna recap. Yeah,
we'll try to get done out on
every few days.
Try get done out on Monday.
I think it'd be definitely after that men's 10K. Let's recap it. So we'll definitely try and watch this space, because we'll try and get a few episodes out during the week as well. Just because, like I said, with the time zones and stuff, it's just good to, you know, talk about it. Makes it easier for you guys as well to listen to that race reviews.
Yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed us rambling. I'm sure you disagree with us loads, but that's great to hear. But hopefully we still enjoy listening to our opinion and things like that about some of the races. But we'll catch you in the week. Hope you guys enjoy the races.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.